Quest to Conquer.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, hopper step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. G.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Remind you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. And later on in the show, we will be giving you a chance to win a pair of Warrior tickets to an upcoming game when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652. That's later on in the show. Of course, if you want to talk Dubs with the saintly one and myself, that's 888-957-9570. As we start this hour, the Warriors are still in sixth, but as we end the show, they might be in seventh in the West, depending on how that Clippers-Knicks game plays out. And right now, last I checked, the Clippers had a two-point lead in the third quarter. Midway through the third, they are up 72-70. So I hope you have a blue and orange Knicks cap somewhere nearby, because that's who you're rooting for to win that game. But Gary, not the best start to this road trip, shall we say. I felt like the Warriors could go 1-1 on the start of this road trip, or they would go, especially sans Steph Curry. And now the Warriors are kind of chasing the trip to make up for these lost games in Atlanta and Miami.
You know what, Kev? You brought up the Clipper game, and Brunson's obviously out for the Knicks. LeBron's been out for the Lakers. Steph now out. And I'm going to tell you, this game is so dependent on having your stars healthy. And when they're not out there, it's a big, big change. You know, I'm not cutting anybody any slack. I think the defense was not up to par. And you're going to say, well, the other team was hot, you know, and they well, let's take some stuff away. And, you know, when you're minus your best guy, everybody's got to step up a little bit. And you didn't see much of that.
Yeah, and for that reason alone, going into that Atlanta game, I'm like, all right, you know, the Hawks, they might have a losing record, but, you know, they're pretty dangerous even if they don't have all of their guys. I wasn't super excited about the loss to Atlanta. Look, we'll break down the Hawks' loss a little bit later. Kind of assumed that Golden State would pick it back up after that game. Obviously, that wasn't the case. And where it really showed in Miami, and obviously this is the Jimmy Butler return game, that's the headline. But to me, the in-game headline were the end-of-quarter issues at the end of every quarter that mattered in this game. Let's break it down, Gary. So in the first quarter, the Warriors are down 23-22 with 45 seconds to go. They end the quarter down 28-22. Bam hits this really kind of tough bank shot to end the quarter. He got an and one. Second quarter, they get down kind of big. They cut it to 11, 51-40 with 50 seconds left. End the quarter down 57-40 as Tyler Hero hits a really tough contested three in the corner to beat the buzzer. Third quarter, they get down 18. They're down 78-60. They rip off a 10-0 run to cut it to 8, 78-70 with 55 seconds left, but they end the quarter down 83-70. So you take that. Basically, the last 45 seconds combined of the first to third quarters, they got outscored 16-0 by Miami. And it's, as Guy Santos might say, boa noite. Good night.
Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of old coaches that'll preach to you about the importance of finishing quarters, especially the half, and how you come out in the beginning of the third. And it sounds like, that's, you know, an old speech. But there's a lot of truth to it. There really, really is. And that hurts because momentum is so big in the NBA. And, you know, margins... 15-20 point margins in the old days, you had a good chance of winning. Nowadays, things can disappear so fast. And you look now and you say to yourself, okay, you know, who do I have on the floor and what are the matchups and how can I get back in this thing? And, you know, I think, you know, I give Atlanta credit. Young has calmed down with his scoring, but I think his ball distribution is better. And, You know, they've got some good young players. They're doing a good job. You know, they've traded, gave away Hunter. And you say, well, maybe they're packing it in. Well, they've done a good job. I got to tip my hat to them.
Yeah, the Hawks certainly have not completely gone into the tank. I mean, it looks like they're going to be at, you know, the 7th seed, maybe the 8 in the play-in. But with respect to the Miami game, I call those kind of end of quarter issues, and then the fourth quarter turnovers. Like you turn it over 5 times in the first 2:30 of the fourth quarter. You get one shot off in your first 6 possessions. You're scoreless for your first 3:25 of the fourth quarter. I mean, that's not going to help. But I kind of call those situations kind of furniture rearrangers, where you'll look at your window and you're like, you know what will make that window look even better? If there was a chair-sized hole going right through it.
Well, you know, I'm a big believer in this. If you hit the guy in the third row with a pass, I don't mind that. But when you got live ball turnovers to get the other team in transition, man, that's no good. That just, especially when you're on the road, that just gives people the momentum to get going, and they believe they're going, you know, make one stop. Okay, you know, coaches like to say, can we get 3 stops in a row? Do you realize what that'll do for us? And, those hurt. There isn't any doubt about it. And, you know, you're playing a Miami team that's, they lost like 10 in a row and then finally won a game. But, you know, Kev, I'm going to give you the eye test. They won the hustle game.
Yes.
There was no debate to me. And you could say that also in the Atlanta game. And, you know, you're going to say, we're banged up and that kind of thing. No, hey, this time of the year, we don't have those excuses. We got to circle them up and let's go. And, you know, it's time. This race, you keep talking about, you mentioned the Clipper game. That's huge for everybody. Because you got a lot of people losing. The only team that's on a roll right now, I'm not even counting the Thunder. They're the best. They just killed the Kings last night. The Rockets are rolling. But the rest of the West? No. Because, you know, you got our man Doncic out. I mean, the Joker out. So, you know, you see them struggling in Denver. And the Grizzlies been pretty good, but Morant's been out. And, you know, I've talked about the Lakers struggling. And this is going to be a tremendous race. So let's forget about those two. We can talk a lot about them, but you got to move forward now. You're going to New Orleans. And some guys tried to make the case to me, it's dangerous going to Miami with having a day off. And it's just human nature. These guys, you let them out on an 80-degree night, and... I've seen that happen a lot of times in my days.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that a team with Draymond, Steph, Jimmy Butler, Kevon Looney, that, look, they, all right, yeah, they'll might have their fun in Miami, but they're not going to, like, let it affect their play the next day and know how to handle business, that kind of thing. But, you know, sometimes just the offense isn't working, and look, the numbers were not pretty. They were 40% from the field. They were 24% from 3, 9 of 38. They only had 20 assists against 16 turnovers. 20 assists for Golden State is very low. And so Kerr, after the game, this is what he had to say about the offensive issues when he was asked by Anthony Slater.
What problems do you feel like need to be solved offensively right now?
We're having to sort of make some decisions based on spacing, you know, without Steph. And so, I the decision I made tonight was to start Gary in order to guard Hero. And I thought he did a really good job on him early. And so I liked the game, was the way the game went in the first quarter for the most part. We just couldn't make anything. So I'll look at the tape, but I liked a lot of the looks we got early in the game. Some nights they don't go in. I'm very confident, you know, with what we're doing, because over the last whatever 20 games since we've had Jimmy, we're a top 5 offensive team. So tonight wasn't our night, but I'm very confident that we'll be fine Friday.
Well, it's well said. I mean, they did have good looks. And, Kev, you're the stat guru. Miami, their night shooting the ball was unbelievable. I don't know many teams that would lose a game with that kind of 3-point shooting. It was just amazing to me.
They went 17-25 from downtown to Miami.
Wow.
It was the best that any team has shot percentage-wise from beyond the arc in a game this year. So,
yeah,
that obviously also plays into it. And any given night, any team can, you know, get hot. Miami is 17th in the NBA in 3-point field goal percentage, so middle of the pack. But 68% from deep, you shoot 68% from deep on 25 attempts, you're probably going to win the game.
Yeah. No, you're right. And, you know, I've always liked Adebayo. I just think the first half of the year, he wasn't very good. And Hero's, you know, he's got the ball. He's the man. And, you know, they've got some production from some other guys, but that was a Heat-like performance that I've used to watch. And since the team was put together, you know, they played hard. They played together. And I have so much respect for Eric Spoelstra. I like the way the end of the game, both Adebayo and Spoelstra came up and gave Steve a hug. And that dates back to the Olympics.
Yep.
I've said it to you many times. To me, those are two of the top five coaches that we have in the NBA.
Yeah, no, I mean, Spoelstra, the run he has had in Miami, the 6 NBA Finals, the 2 NBA titles, very nearly took them to another NBA Finals in 2022, where the Warriors beat the Celtics. Jimmy Butler just missed a pull-up 3 in the final minute that would have given the Heat the lead in Game 7 at home against Boston. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, 11 points, 6 rebounds, 5 of 12, only one free throw attempt for Jimmy Butler. It didn't feel like he had his usual imprint on it, but it kind of felt also like more a byproduct of Golden State just having a horrific offensive night as a team. What'd you take away from his performance?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe they know him so well. There weren't a lot of gaps that he was able to penetrate to either pitch to teammates or finish. And he didn't have many good looks. They took a lot of stuff away. And to his credit, he doesn't force stuff. You know, that's what I like about him. He plays the game really, really smart. And it wasn't the productive night that he's used to having, but I bet a few dollars that he's going to have a heck of a game down there in New Orleans.
Be part of history as the Golden State Valkyries take the court for the first time in their inaugural 2025 season presented by Kaiser Permanente. Don't miss their exclusive preseason matchup against the Los Angeles Sparks Tuesday, May 6th at Chase Center. Visit valkyries.com/tickets to learn more. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Andrew Wiggins, his first game against the Warriors. We'll give away those pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. We'll break down the Western Conference standings when we come back right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the Valiant 95.7 The Game.
Wu-Tang Forever, the final chamber with Run the Jewels. Come to Chase Center on June 24th. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. And as a reminder, Wu-Tang is for the children. 10-point lead over the New York Knicks. Saint, let's talk a little bit about Andrew Wiggins now. Haven't covered that angle yet of the Miami Heat game last night. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, couple of steals, 3 blocks. Had a big defensive imprint. Had that big chase down block on Jimmy in the first quarter that was kind of a tone setter. Wiggins, great to see him play again, and he's been playing really well as of late. Didn't have a big scoring game last night, but scored like 72 points in his last two games combined before that one.
He had 42 in one game, and
yep. You
know what? He looked like championship Wiggs to me. That was the guy that I remembered during the championship. He played great defense, help on the ball as well as off. And then I thought his shot selection was really solid. He had some post-ups. You mentioned the blocks. His game really, really looked solid to me. And I saw him smile a couple times, so it made me feel good.
Well, it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Call the contest line 523-4652. If you are caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. We'll announce the winner later on. We'll be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. Thanks for keeping me honest there, Grandy. But, yeah, Andrew Wiggins, you mentioned it, the 42-point game, and maybe Miami's found a little mojo there. I mean, they were in the midst of that 10-game losing streak. Kendrick Perkins goes on NBA Today and says Pat Riley essentially needs to step down. So maybe things are rallying a little bit there in Miami.
Well, I think Big Perk might have ate some bad brisket. look, Pat Riley, I have so much respect for him. And I've mentioned to you, I was an assistant in Milwaukee and got to know him. He was assistant coach, and then Jack McKinney had a bike accident, and then Paul Westhead took over, and then, you know, he then took after him. And they had a phenomenal run and a great run in New York. And to put all this on him, I've said it before, that should have been negotiated in-house, not in a public forum. And something could have been done, because Mickey Arison's a fabulous owner, one of the best we have in the NBA. So I don't buy everything that's been said or written about the situation.
Moving backwards in time, 3 days prior, the Warriors losing to the Atlanta Hawks 124-115, giving up 40 first quarter points. And the Warriors really just kind of let the Hawks get downhill early and often in this game. And it reminds me of an old saying I've heard with respect to the NBA. You can't win a game in the first quarter, but you sure can lose it in the first quarter. And this game was exhibit A for that.
Kev, you know, it's a true statement. When you're down big, it takes a lot of energy to get back. And then you get all the way back, and maybe the other team finds a little momentum and they get going again, or maybe you got enough depth that you can keep your role going. But when you're down really big, it's hard to get all the way back. But I will say this, the NBA's changed in this regard. Big leads, they're not many are insurmountable. You can get there. You can be down 20 and get back because of the three ball. And you know, it wasn't the Warriors' night, and you're going to look at these games and you're going to analyze what you're doing offensively, defensively, and all that kind of stuff, and you're going to look at your rotations and all that. If Steph can play Friday, you're playing against a team that's been decimated with injuries, and you get a win under your belt, and you can go onward and upward with this road trip. We talked about what would be great, you know, like 5-2 or whatever, and it still can happen. But you know, you put yourself in a tough situation.
Yeah, 0-2 on the road trip, 4 games left, and the games are going to start coming a little quicker. You do have 2 days until the next one, and then it's 28th, 30th, 1st, and 3rd every other day instead of every 3 days, as the first two games kind of started off. With respect to the game against the Atlanta Hawks, you mentioned DeAndre Hunter, the trade that the Hawks made, giving him to Cleveland, that and maybe that's a sign that they're going to tank a little bit. But the guy that was involved in that, one of the guys involved in that DeAndre Hunter trade, George Niang, former Santa Cruz Warrior, by the way, absolutely destroyed Golden State, 6-9 from deep in that one.
Yeah, you know, you've mentioned him, and a couple other people have mentioned him to me. I read a story about guys that were teammates of his and what a great guy he was and a quality player. And you love having a little knowledge about a guy and seeing him respond. And I know you said good things about him, so good for him.
So I got to ask you, because he's a Massachusetts guy.
He is?
Where is Methuen? I might not even be saying that
Methuen.
Correct.
Methuen,
thank you.
That's
where
South Shore. That means you're south of Boston. And
okay.
Hey, now I like them a heck of a lot more.
Is that close to Chicopee at all?
We're about 90 miles.
Okay, yeah, you're not taking an afternoon drive over there.
From Boston, it's like driving San Francisco to Sacramento.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's a good comparison there. Niang is awesome. Like, had a chance to be around him his half season that he was in Santa Cruz, and he got called up midway through to the Utah Jazz on a two-way contract. It was the first year that two-way contracts existed. Then he became a key rotation player for Utah, worked that into a deal with the Philadelphia 76ers, went to Cleveland, now with the Atlanta Hawks. My favorite George Niangster, I'll give this one to you. We were playing a team that had a former Santa Cruz Warrior on it, and Klee Anthony Early, and he was a good friend of George Niang. And Klee Anthony Early, former NBA player, drafted by the New York Knicks, played at Wichita State. Shout out Raymond Ritter. I know he loves his Shockers. But
good call.
So it's the return game for Klee Anthony Early, and George and Klee Anthony always had good back and forth and practice and during games. They're always friendly with each other. But George Niang, and they started talking, started yapping, you know, talking smack during the game. Niang hits a three on him, and then you know the bow and arrow celebration on a three, Gary?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. He points it directly at the back of Klee Anthony Early's head and does like the most accentuated bow and arrow three at the back, like literally 2 centimeters from his head. Did not get a technical foul somehow. It was maybe the most like taunting celebration I've ever seen. It was perfectly done. So shout out
George. That's a great story.
Yeah. Shout out George Niang. But no,
that's great.
On a more serious note from that game, Gary, how concerned are you with the Warriors' defense after these first two games of this road trip? I mean, give up 124 to Atlanta, and then 56% shooting, 68% three-pointing to Miami to start this road trip after the defense has been so good since the Jimmy Butler trade.
You know, Al Addles, my main man, he used to say, momentum or chemistry. How do we get it? How the heck did we lose it so fast? And you just look at your coaches and you say, is this the same team? I mean, what's going on out here? And that's going to take your veterans, getting everybody locked in, and just talk a lot, communicate, red on the double team, or I'm there for you weak side, or push a middle, or whatever the conversations are going to be. And It's kind of like you can get it back, but it takes a lot of energy and enthusiasm and smarts, and they can do it. Now, the difficulty is going to be guarding what's his name? Williamson down there.
Yeah, Zion Williamson.
He's a load. I watched him a couple weeks ago playing against the Lakers, and I want to say he was 13 for 17 from the floor. That team's been just totally decimated. But I'm not worried about the other team. The team I'm worried about is the Warriors. Yeah. And they got to get their mojo back. And they've got the guys with Draymond and Butler to get them going again.
And this is why they have to get their mojo back, is because they're only a half game up on the Clippers and the Timberwolves for 6. So we were talking about, moving up to potentially 4th. Hey, why not 3rd? They could finish in 8th. And then that would mean you'd have to either win the 7-8 game on the road or then play another 8-9 game at home, which 4 years ago the Warriors infamously lost to the Memphis Grizzlies in overtime. And I'm just going to tell you right now, the Warriors are going to end the night in 7th place in the Western Conference unless something wild happens at MSG. The Knicks are down 16 to the Clippers with under 8 minutes to go. I mean, Harden, 29 points, 6 assists. Kawhi, 23, 9, and 5. And yes, no Jalen Brunson for the Knicks. They're starting Miles McBride again, but that would have been a nice result for Golden State to have the Knicks get for them. That's not going to happen. Maybe they get some help from the Pacers tonight, but the Lakers are leading by 3 at the end of 3 quarters there. So,
Kevin,
yeah,
Lakers aren't going to win.
Oh wow! I won't tell Greg that.
Don't tell him that. LeBron's got 2 points.
Yeah, he has.
And Reeves has not, you know, I'm watching, but I'm not listening. He didn't play in the third quarter, and he had a great first half, so maybe he's hurt. No, I think the Pacers will win this game. So, to your point, that Clipper game was huge, but this is big, too, and I'm just flabbergasted. Maybe I'm watching this more and more because I love the Warriors, I love the Lakers, and I'm still cheering for the Kings, and they're sliding out of this picture. So, it's I'm trying to just get my hands around this, and who do they play after New Orleans?
They play San Antonio and then Memphis and the Lakers.
Ooh, you know what? Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you. San Antonio, they're athletic, and they're still playing hard.
Yeah, that won't be easy.
No, no. And Memphis, I don't know when Morant's coming back, but, you know, then you had Bane knocking down his teammate last night, and they still wound up winning. So this is great stuff. My wife asked me last night, Kev, she said,
"Yeah,
how many games are you going to watch?" And I said, well, I've got the NBA package, and if my main teams are playing, I'm going to be watching. Because I don't watch any of the other shows that are on TV, and I don't want to listen to the news going around the world because it's awful. So she just looks at me. She said, well, you're happy. That's what counts.
There you go. That's not a bad way to live. Just watch NBA games. I'm with it. By the way, LeBron James, and before we get into LeBron, I should shout out Mason in San Francisco. He's our tickets winner. So congrats to Mason.
Yep.
You get
congrats,
great tickets
Mason.
To an upcoming Warriors game. LeBron James, I don't know what the exact number is, but he's got a stretch of like 1,200-something games in a row scoring at least 10 points.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, let's see if I can look this up quickly in a little bit. But, yeah, he's got 3 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. He has not scored from the field in this game yet.
He looks
just about to start the fourth quarter.
Tonight he looks 40-plus. He's rusty. He's lost the momentum, although he had a good scoring game the other night. He's just, he's not there. Now, he's human, too, but I'm kind of shocked. I just figured, well, if Reeves isn't out there, he's going to get it going, and they got a great chance to win this game. But the more I'm watching, I'm going, mm-mm.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton has 17 assists through three quarters as well. He's been playing.
He looks like
really
the
well.
Playing Halliburton right now. You know, when he dominated there when they were in Vegas?
Yeah, in season tournament. He was really going. So if you want some silver lining to the start of this road trip with a Western Conference standings perspective, look, I think 4-2 still has to be the goal for Golden State on this road trip. It was my personal goal for them. And if they now go 4-2, their only losses would be to Eastern Conference teams, meaning they'd rack up wins against the West and, more importantly, against Lakers and Memphis. And also, more importantly, if your only losses are to Eastern Conference teams, in-conference record is a secondary tiebreaker. So, I mean, if you want to take a really rosy approach to how this road trip has played out so far, you haven't. I mean, yes, you've left the door open for the Clippers and the Timberwolves, but the Lakers haven't punished you. They've lost 3 in a row, and Saints says they're going to lose their 4th in a row tonight as Austin Reeves makes a free throw. But
oh, he's
back! Yeah, he's back. He is at the line right now. So,
huh.
Yeah, good for the Lakers that he is back.
But, Kev, you gave a great breakdown of these teams. And when you look at that, if you're a Warrior fan, you're saying, God, we got a tough schedule the rest of the way. Well, I think the Lakers have, correct me if I'm wrong, they might have 3 back-to-backs left. And, you know, with that said, you mentioned all these guys' schedules. Nobody's got it easy. This is really going to be tough. And, you know, the old adage, you got to take care of your own business. You like looking at what everybody else is doing. But you got to look at it yourself.
Yeah, let's take a look at it. LeBron just scored his first bucket
Hooray!
From the field, by the way. Yeah, so he's up to 5 points. Guarantee you he scores 10 points at least in this game.
I, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, if there's one thing, LeBron knows his certain streaks and all that kind of thing. And I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it, NBA all-time leading scorer, so on and so forth. But let's take a look at these upcoming schedules. You mentioned Lakers on back end, on you know, more back-to-backs. Well, yeah. They play at Chicago tomorrow,
yes.
And the Chicago Bulls, not exactly a team you want to face right now, a team that blew out the Lakers by 31 points on Saturday.
Kev, I watched that game. That guy White, they were talking about trading him last year. Kobe White. First, I love his hair. I'm kind of envious. I wish I had that much. That guy's playing all-pro basketball. And they are running as much as any team in the whole league. They're having a blast. You know, they're going to be, I don't know, 9 or 10 in the West and in the East. And, you know, I give them credit. They're out there playing the game the right way and sharing the ball, and there's good energy. And I just like the way they're playing. You know, Kevin Huerter goes from the Kings. He's playing well. Giddy's really playing well. And how do you pronounce that rookie's name? Badets?
Modest Buzelis.
Oh, I was close. that kid's playing really well. So I like the way they're playing.
Yeah, you know, they've found some these last few games. So the Lakers, over the next week, here are what the teams around Golden State have on their schedule. The Lakers are in Chicago tomorrow. They're at Memphis on Saturday. And then they host Houston. That's not easy. The Clippers at Brooklyn, that should be a win on Friday. But at Cleveland, and then at Orlando, back into the back-to-back.
Back-to-back?
Yeah, so Cleveland, Orlando, tough. Back-to-back. And the Magic have kind of found something recently. They beat the Lakers earlier this
week. Hey, how about those two young guys?
Oh, yeah.
Bancaro and Wagner. And you know what? The key to that team, and he's just a great athlete, a leader, a competitor, that guy sucks. And I don't know if he's going to be coming back. He had a broken leg. But, you know, they at one point, they were 4 in the East. And, you know, they've gone south because they really missed him. But you're right. They're physical.
Yeah. Minnesota, they host Phoenix, who has found something as well. They've won 4 in a row. That's on Friday. They host Detroit, not an easy game. And then at Denver. And then Memphis, they're at Oklahoma City tomorrow. Yeah. Then they host the Lakers. Then they host Boston before hosting Golden State. So there are losses out there for the teams around Golden State. I said that to say this. Yes,
you're right on, Kev. Listen, this is that's why when you get up, I don't know if you drink coffee or whatever, a cup of tea, get on your iPad and check the standings. That's the first thing I do. I love checking out what's going on, and don't tell anybody back home. But I don't even look at the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
I'm only looking at the West. I'm so intrigued by this thing.
Man, a guy from Massachusetts not even looking at the Eastern
Conference.
Well,
the Seas are going to be fine. I'm not worried about them. They get everybody healthy. They can beat anybody back there, and I'm saying they can beat Cleveland too.
Okay. From a Warriors perspective, with the start to this road trip and considering how the standings are playing out, look, it'd be one thing, I think, if the Warriors were fighting for fourth or fifth, but avoiding the play-in would mean having to play fewer games, get a longer rest before the playoffs. So I pose this question. Does the start to this road trip change the thought process at all on when you bring Steph back? If it's a 50-50 call, I mean, obviously, if he's hurt, he's hurt. The Steve Kerr said after the game yesterday that the hope is to have him Friday in New Orleans.
Yes. I think they were prudent keeping him out. You know, they didn't win, but you got to take care of him. Players want to play. And with that in mind, they'll tell you they want to play. And so that's why you got to listen to your trainers, the physiotherapists, the doctors, everybody. Because you don't want him to get out there and be missing 10 games. So, hey, they made the decision. They didn't get a win. But when he comes back, he gives you a shot in the arm. And I don't think it'll linger because of Butler and Green. They're going to be tone setters. You know, and then you get guys that are, just play their heart out every night. I just love Gary Payton. He just brings it for you. You know who's done a darn nice job since he came back from the back issue? Is Podzimski. He's really played well. If anything, I think he shot the ball better.
Yes.
You know, we've talked about Heald being up and down. The guy that I think it and Moody had a tough night the other night, but I'm really got my fingers and toes crossed that things start to get going. Just fluidity for our man Kuminga. I want to see him get it going. He just didn't look like it was just smooth and easy for him the other night. And I'm really hoping that can happen for him. And I think with Steph out there with so much attention on him, that it opens up creases for players who play downhill and they can attack. And once he sees the ball go in the basket, he's going to feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, what have you made of the way Jonathan has played since he's returned to the lineup? Because, I mean, the first game back, he looked amazing. Then he was in a rut a little bit. There were moments in the Raptors game, I believe it was, where he really started to take over. He had his moments in these last couple of games. He led the team in scoring last night. But, I mean, not that that was a huge accomplishment last night because they scored 86 points as a team. But what have you made of him in his return?
Well, as I said, it just doesn't look, you know, you take a picture of things and it gets a little smoky or glazed over, and that's the way it looks right now. The first game, I was like, holy moly, he didn't miss a beat. But people do not understand how difficult it is to come back after a long, long time, and then your team has set into a beautiful rhythm, and they really are playing with pace and defending and sharing the ball and all that kind of thing. But everybody knows how important he is, Kev. And so I think you're going to see guys like Butler and Green. They're going to be looking for him when he's got space and everything so that they can hopefully get him going.
Celebrate Fan Night at Chase Center on Friday, April 4th, as the Dubs face the Denver Nuggets, presented by Adobe. All fans get a Fan Night shirt. Get your tickets now at Warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Let's talk about those Pelly Pels who the Warriors will face on Friday. A quick look ahead to the San Antonio Spurs and an update on the Santa Cruz Warriors as their season comes to an end. Also taking your calls right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you gonna do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors are in New Orleans on Friday, March 28th, on air at 4:30, tipping at 5 p.m. with Tim Roy on the call here on 95.7 The Game. The road trip continues in San Antonio on Sunday. That'll be a 3:30 airtime, 4 p.m. tip time. With Tim on the call. Tuesday, April 1st, the Warriors head out to Memphis, 4:30 on the air, 5 p.m. tip time. And then the road trip concludes Thursday, April 3rd at the Lakers, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time, before the Warriors come home to finish the back end of a back-to-back hosting the Denver Nuggets. That's Fan Night presented by Adobe, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. We got another 11 minutes or so if you want to chat Golden State Shooty Hoop with us, Santa Cruz Warriors questions, NBA at large. Anything else on your mind? 888-957-9570. Let's talk about the New Orleans Pelicans. Steve Kerr called the New Orleans game the most important one of the season. And obviously there are bigger name opponents on the schedule. We talked about them playing at Memphis and at the Lakers at the end of this road trip. And then you face Denver right after the Lakers. There are bigger name opponents on the schedule, but it's hard to disagree with Steve Kerr's assessment because, well, you've lost two in a row, and they absolutely need this one.
Well, I like it to just put eyes and ears on the game. Let's get focused. Let's understand that we got to get this one. This is a road game that we should win, and you know, they're so banged up. It's just amazing to me what's gone on there. But you got to watch out. You know, with Williamson, Who the heck did they beat last week? They beat somebody that was solidly in the Western Conference picture. So McCallum's a pro. He just does a good job. And they got a lot of other guys that are getting an opportunity that may not have come about if it wasn't for all the injuries. And you never know. You get some guy and he gets streaky hot and you go, well, I didn't know about that guy. And it's probably the first time in his life he ever had a big game.
Well, they beat the Timberwolves last week. That helped out Golden State. Zion Williamson had 29 points in 30 minutes. And that's the reason why they might be 20-53 right now. But if Zion's playing, this team is a tough handle. And it feels like they've had injury troubles forever, basically since they drafted Anthony Davis. Like, this is going back 12, 13 years. This has been one of the most snake-bit franchises with respect to injuries. But when Zion Williamson plays, and he's played in 30 of their 73 games this year, he's missed an entire season in 21-22. He has played 214 games since he got drafted in 2019. So not a ton for six seasons. You're averaging like 36 games a season. That's less than half the season. But this season, 24.6 points per game and 28.6 minutes per game. I mean, this guy just fills it up. When he's out there, man, you could see why there was so much hype about him, because he is really, really good.
Well, Kev, you know, if you let him get left, you're in big trouble. Boy, he just finishes, and he scores so many points in the paint. It's phenomenal. I just don't know what this guy's future is because of all the problems he's had with conditioning and injuries. And then, you know, a name, they Ingram went up to Toronto, but there was another one full of injuries. And it seemed like in years ago that the Warriors would play those guys a lot in the playoffs. And you looked at their roster and you said, boy, there's some good young talent here. And then the next thing you know, you got four or five guys banged up.
Yeah, the Warriors faced the Pelicans. It was their first playoff series of their first championship in the first year of Steve Kerr era. One of Stephen Curry's most important threes of his career at that time, that three to send game three, I believe it was, to overtime in New Orleans, and should have been a 4-point play, but then they faced him in the second round in the 2018 playoffs. So yeah, there were some playoff battles there with the New Orleans Pelicans, but Zion, when he's healthy, he's been good, but that's been the problem. And I don't know how much you listen to the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst, Tim Bontemps, and Tim McMahon, but they floated the ideas. I forget if it's Bontemps or McMahon, one of them saying the Pelicans need to move off Zion Williamson. Would you trade Zion?
Boy, I'd think long and hard about it. If I could get a good package back, yes, because, you know, you can't keep banking on potential. What you've done gives you a history, and he just hasn't held up. And why should we believe he's going to continue to hold up? I don't know. It seems like a good young guy. He's kind of found himself, but boy, oh boy, it's just so. And then, you know, even now, does he play back to backs? I mean, they're being so cautious with him, and you say to yourself, you know, we need him, but you know, they're sitting back now and just kind of, you know, finishing the season out.
Yeah, I mean, so he's played 30 games this year in his sixth year in the NBA. If he did not play another game this year, it'd be the third most games he's played in a season.
Like, that's phenomenal.
That really is. It just kind of shows you how injured he has been. By the way, LeBron James is at 11 points, or he surpassed 10 points, and that number is 1,283 straight games scoring in double figures.
They had a 10-point lead, and it's even now.
Yeah, it's even. I think Luka just tied it up. But yeah.
You look at it, you know the guys down there. You look at Willie Green, just a great guy who was an assistant years with the Warriors. Terrific guy.
Yep.
And then I think Collins is still there.
Jaren Collins,
You know,
Casey Hill.
That's Santa hard Cruz to coach.
Coach. Yep.
Yeah. That's hard to coach when you just don't know who you got. That's really difficult. I don't know who would take him on. Somebody that's really ready to throw the chips in the middle of the table.
Yeah, it's a tough call for the Pelicans. Just if it's not one thing, it's been another with them. So Pelicans on Friday, San Antonio on Sunday, and you talked about this earlier. I mean, they had a 3-game winning streak that just snapped. Yeah. I mean, people thought they would just fall to the wayside, and while it doesn't look like they're going to finish in the top 10, they're still on the fringes of this play-in chase, and they haven't had Wemby since the All-Star break, so it's been more than a month, and I think that's a testament to what my guy Mitch Johnson's done there filling in for Pop.
Yeah, Stanford guy, and they you know what? They've all bought in. I love the story. What was it, last week, the week before? Pop went and talked to them, and I think their eyes and ears were wide open, and in some of them maybe in utter amazement, because Pop has been watching all the games, and he went around the room and pointed things out to all of them, and Shaq made a comment last night about OKC, a very nice compliment about OKC. He says, you know what? They love each other. And that's been the history down there in San Antonio. Guys love playing with each other. And you see total unselfishness. I love the effort. And you can debate the Castle, the could be rookie of the year. He's got a really, when I watched him in the beginning of the year, I said, holy moly, this guy's really got it. And boy, does he have athletic skill and confidence, and he's a heck of a young player.
I mean, the future very bright for San Antonio.
And yes.
And if they luck out in the lottery here, they could, I mean, really the top four, top five, all supposed to be really, really high-level prospects.
Couldn't
in
agree
this
with
year's
you more.
Draft. So even if you don't get Cooper Flagg, you're looking at an Ace Bailey or a Harper or VJ Edgecombe, who nearly took the Bahamas to the Olympics this year with Chris DeMarco, the Golden State assistant, as head coach alongside Buddy Hield and DeAndre Ayton. So, San Antonio, I think things are set up just fine for them. Got a couple of minutes left in our show today. Want to spend a quick minute on the Santa Cruz Warriors, because they got 2 games left in the regular season, and they are in the 6th and final playoff spot, as I say this. So they got to win their next 2 games against the Rip City Remix. They got swept by the South Bay Lakers on Monday and Tuesday. Bronny James, how about this, Aiden? We saw him in Summer League. He went for 39 against Santa Cruz on Monday.
How about that? Yeah. And, you know, my son Greg's down there, and he just says wonderful things about him as a young guy. You know, he's humble, he smiles, he competes, he works at his craft. Just because his last name is James, he's under the microscope, but he's made strides. He's made improvements. So you're happy for a guy like that. And I got to tell you, we see this week who got a contract for the rest of the year, who you and I had been talking about for a long time. Knox.
Kevin Knox. Yep.
What a nice thing. Happy for him.
Yeah.
And there's a guy I think that has the talent level to be on an NBA roster. It's just being in the right place at the right time. So good for him. Good for him. Yeah. And I hope he gets very few minutes because that means the Warriors are in every game. Or maybe I should say, maybe I hope he gets some minutes because they blow somebody out.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Steph doesn't have to play the fourth quarter. Give Kevin 8 to 9 minutes at the end of this one. So, yeah, big-time congrats to Kevin Knox, and best of luck to the Santa Cruz Warriors. Friday and Saturday at Kaiser Permanente Arena, if you're in the
area.
That's
great.
Taking on the Rip City Remix. That's Portland's G League team at 7 p.m. NBC Sports Bay Area, NBC Sports Bay Area Plus for the TV broadcast. That'll do it for us tonight, folks. Big thank you to Marika Cleto and R.C. Davis on the Warriors side of things. Mark Grandy holding things down behind the glass for us. Tough one for his Ducks against the Arizona Wildcats in the round of 32. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Danis saying sayonara. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Steph, left wing three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.